Got to get some seats for those ladies there. Got to get church. We got a couple up front. It's just like church. Everybody stays in the back. The collection will start from the back. I want to tell you, I am really very glad to be here, especially getting up at 4:45 this morning in Pasadena. Saw my wife, I passed her in the bathroom someplace in the middle of the night. My wife is so neat that when I get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom, I come back, she's got the bed made. You know that type? Yeah. Well, that's the way it is. I made a couple of notes because everybody works their own style. And I really know what I'm going to say, but I had a couple of observations. We're talking about success and achieving success in the changing world. On the plane today, coming over, I saw an article in the LA Times. It said, you know, the saccharin, this dumb thing they're doing with the saccharin. You know, I don't have any stock or anything in it, but in it says, one guy proposed a bill which makes it okay, because now they put on all the boxes. This saccharin may be dangerous to your rat. I think this guy's probably got the right attitude. I'll tell you, the thing we're going to talk about today is change and non-traditional thinking. We're going to do a couple exercises. Have some fun. That'll be my part of the program first, and then they bring on the heavies. But I have to tell you, one of the things that I found recently, they talk about change. Well, schools have changed. You know, we live near Ambassador, and people have to make applications. So I collected the answers that they have on the applications now. And it says age. The guy puts down nuclear. So it's all right. It says salary desired. He wrote definitely. Marital status, shaky at the present time. I thought it was all right. How far did you go to school? The guy says 18 blocks. Smart, smart guy. Church preference. This is not red brick with white colonial trim. Here's a tender one. Mother's name, Mom. Anyway, I want to tell you some things today, and I don't know how far the cords will go, and they, you know, I guess I'm all right. Being a salesman, and I really am, what I would like to do today is share with you a collection of some of the things that I have picked up. Now, I have an opinion about speakers in my side of the business. Nothing to do with these guys that are coming on. But the sales motivation guys, they steal everything from everybody. Right? So do I. So I decided that all salesmen, and this is, if you make shorthand notes today, it won't be very heavy. This is the 11th commandment. Okay? There are 10 commandments. You remember? 10? It was in all the papers. Come on, you must have read it. The 11th commandment is the salesman marketing executive's precept, and it is, thou shalt steal. All the good stuff you can find here, ideas, anything. Now, I don't really find that to be disrespectful, and I'm not trying to be, funny with religion. What I mean is that the best ideas and the best techniques that you can find, it's not illegal to steal them from somebody. Now, here's where I got one idea. I went to the movies, and I saw, and how many people saw The Sundance Kid? Did you see that? Butch Cassidy and The Sundance Kid? Very funny picture. So I came out of the picture, and I said to myself, that was a lot of fun. These two guys were such klutzes, you know, when they wanted to steal the money, they blew up the whole freight train. I thought, there were probably a lot more of those guys than Wyatt Earp and Jesse James. A lot of dummies running around out there. So I watched them, and the next thing I see is they're running over the rocks, and they're trying to get away. They're doing all the stuff that the classical cowboys escape. But these guys kept staying right behind them. And the one guy says to the other, how do those guys do that? Remember? And he said, can you do that? He said, no. He says, neither can I. How can those guys do that? See? And I thought, isn't that really what we try to do when we teach people? We say to ourselves, how is he so good? How does he do that? So in our workshops, which we're not going to do today, but in the longer sessions, Glenn talked about the great brain robbery, which we have a lot of fun, we do. And you'd like that because all the people come in and there are a lot of experts lined up at the table. And we stand up and say, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, how are you? What are your questions? And it's exactly what happens. There's a dead silence and everybody's looking at you. like sardines when you open the can. Ah. They say, well, if you don't have any questions, we're going to leave because we know all the answers. And then they laugh and they start to ask questions and we get into it. Now, what happens with salesmen is they say, how do you learn how to sell? And I had classic training. I was one of the greatest trained salesmen. I noticed guys here from the Realty Board, and you know, they have schools and so forth. I came from the other sales school, which you probably came from. The guy said, here's your bag, here's your sample. It's virgin territory in that direction. And you start out, and they kill you for a while, and then you learn to protect yourself and so forth. I remember once when I went to Albany, New York, and I was a printing salesman. Now, I didn't know how they did this printing, but I had, lend me your folder there a second, just this. So I went into this banker, and I said to him, I'm selling, and you want to know how far back this was? Blotters. Remember blotters? I was selling blotters. Another guy, he had four color pictures on these blotters. And wouldn't it be my luck, the first day out on a new job with a new company, I ran into a guy that knew a lot about printing. So I said, they were all scenes of New England. You know, we had winter and summer and fall, and then we had a little calendar, and then we put the name of the bank in there, you know, and a little message, you know. Oh, we were cheating you guys to death. So I showed him the blotter, and he said to me, is that the wet or the dry process? Oh. I said, it seems dry. And he says, you're real smart, aren't you? I said, I don't know. I don't know much about it. He said, you don't? Well, let me explain it to you. And he took about 20 minutes and told me all about lithograph and the ink. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying to myself, what is happening? I'm the salesman, and this guy's telling me all this stuff. How many guys are there like him? How do those guys do that? So I thought, and I said, when he got finished, he said, any questions? I said, yeah, how many do you need? He said, we'll take 12,000. I made about $300 the first day. And I said to the guy, I love this business. He knows all the answers, and I get all the money. This is going to be all right. So I said to myself, I don't think I'll learn printing. Because, you know, this is one of the great discoveries I made, because I'll run into another guy who knows a lot about printing, and he'll be dying to tell me about it. And I'll say, really? Is that so? Wonderful. Fantastic. Another such Dale Carnegie, you know, that story, yeah. So things went along, and I never did learn anything about printing. I became the vice president of the company based on total ignorance. And the only thing I decided was that I maybe was finding out what most salesmen forget is that we're dealing on one-to-one, not with customers, no prospects, dealing one-to-one with people. So I thought maybe it'd be interesting to tell you about some of the stuff we do in the sales and marketing seminars about identifying people, and it's kind of fun. Let's see, how can we start? We could start by drawing a little pyramid. Do you know about the Maslow pyramid? Okay, you do. Tell me about it. No. But that is one of the tricks that you learn from it. The Maslow, there are three guys in the psychological business who are pretty important in history of behavior. Big time for behavior now. You know, we get transcendental meditation. You get your mantra? If you don't, you're in big trouble in Los Angeles. You get transactional analysis, and the bumper sticker says, I'm okay, you're so-so, you know, that kind of thing. The first guy in the psychological business with all this behavioralism was Freud, and he told you it's because every time a toilet flushes, you get nervous. That's your problem. They don't tell you how to get over it, but that's your problem. The next guy came along was Abraham Maslow, and he had kind of an interesting beginning. He said, look at all the teachers I've had. How come these two guys are so much better than all the rest? And he began to look at what made people tick. And he put together a little thing called the hierarchy of human needs. And I ain't no psychologist, but I thought it was important for sales and marketing people and chambers of commerce's people and nice ladies in green dresses to learn about these things. Down at the bottom is survival, and that means you got to stay alive. That's all. Survival. There's only seven steps, and two of them we ain't never going to get to. So survival is anything that has to be replaced on a very frequent basis, like breath, food, warmth. You know, you can't get a whole lot of warmth and put it in your pockets and walk around and get real cold. You got to have some all the time. And you can think of other things like that. Now, after you get above the survival mode, then you're in a thing called safety, and you feel okay. You say, okay, I'm going to live, going to exist. Now I got to feel safe. That makes me comfortable. The very next thing that you get to here, so we call that safe, and this is survive, and the next one up, B-I-V-E, is belonging. And this is kind of important to you, and we're getting to where you are, or we are, all of us, because I'm not ahead of you. It's like the guy said, when we attack, I'll follow you because I know they're going to beat us, and then I'll be in charge when we're going this way. Belonging to is a very important thing for everybody. Once you survive and you think you're safe, then you want to be with some other guys, girls, something. You got families, you got companies, you got clans, you got uniforms, you got chambers, you got SME, boosters of Boise, the Rose Tournament. You know, it's nice to be part of something, crowd, group, and be identified with them, all right? That the next thing is the most important, I think, of all, which is esteem. And esteem simply means every one of us want to be told that we're good at something. I'd like to be a very good speaker, and I'd like to have fun, and I'd like to have you remember some of the things I said. A couple of things. That's all a speaker can hope for. And say, hey, that was good, and that was the best seminar, and those other guys were great. That's what I like. I'd also like to be very good in the marketing business, because I have a marketing agency, and I have all kinds of problems I love to solve, if I can. Like we're now selling Catholic newspapers on Watts lines. And the first thing I discovered was that both the girls in the phone room were Jewish. So after I changed their names and got rid of Rabbi and got Monsignor in there, we started making some progress. But they're, you know, marketing problems, identification of who the audience is. And the audience in all of the esteem business is the people we work with. I like to say, by the way, I like that tie. That's nice. If you'd like to get rid of that later, I'll make a deal with you. Your hair looks very nice, really. People will respond to compliments and so forth, and the only thing you have to do to be one of what we call now, Ellsworth and I have a little thing going called the Sunshine People. You want to belong to the Sunshine People? Talk to people. We have a friend who's in Minneapolis, Larry Wilson. Have you ever seen him speak? He's nuts. Great speaker, but he's crazy. He gets in an elevator any place with people he doesn't know, and he says, all right, let's all watch the little numbers, 2, 3. Hi, I'm Larry Wilson. And people go, ooh, they can't get away. They're caught in the corner. And it's really funny to watch this guy. He talks to everybody. I said to him one time, what are you trying to do? Oh, he said, I'm going to change the world. I think he is. I don't know how. You know, a little strange. But he said, talk to everybody. The only thing you have to learn is you will be rebuffed once in a while. Small price. Small price. But the esteem and the quick compliment, like when we came on the plane today, the girl who made the announcements on the plane, really, you knew that she liked people. Because she said, we've been going to Hawaii, United Airlines, for 30 years, and that's our little corner of the world, and we'd love to take you over there. I never heard anybody say that in a plane before. They say, you know, thank you for flying, and the crew and the captain and all the idiots up here who are robots. Thank you very much. Goodbye, 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 you know. You probably heard that story about Lufthansa, yes? Guy gets on the plane and says, this is your captain speaking. This is the finest airline in the world. We have the finest food, stewardesses, and equipment, and you will enjoy the flight. I talk to you in 30 minutes. So in 30 minutes, he comes back and he says, this is your captain again. I got good news and bad news. The good news is we're making terrific time. The bad news is I'm hopelessly lost. I talk to you again in 10 minutes. 10 minutes, he comes back for the final thing and he says, we will crash in exactly 42 seconds, I predict. Please take your glasses off, put your glasses down, and bang, they crash in the ocean. He says, all of you who can swim on the right wing, take off tie, shoes, and get ready, swim this way, 20 minutes, you're on land. All of those who cannot swim on the left wing, thank you for flying Lufthansa. Now, the compliments that we exchange with people and the fun that we have loosens them all up. And that's what selling is about, and getting people to do work. I tell you, there's an ad out now that I wish I had done. It shows two guys playing racquetball, you know, inside a court with the rackets, and they're hitting each other hard. And the headline, I wish I'd thought of this, it says, "You couldn't pay these people to play that hard." What a super way to say when you want to do something and you like to do it, there's no way anybody could pay you. That's what winners do. They don't care what they get paid. They just happen to get paid a lot because they work well. And they need esteem. We all need that. Now, the last one here is self-realization or self-actualization. Either one. Self-fulfillment, Jesse Jackson calls it. And self-realization or self-fulfillment is being as good as you can be. That's where all of us are. Or you wouldn't be here. You'd say, I don't want to go to a meeting. Who cares about change or success? But you do care. That's why you're here. So this is where you are. You're in this bracket up here. Yes, you like esteem, and you'd like to be told you're a pro, but you would also like to realize your full potential. And that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about today. Now, when I told you the story about the printing, it's a true story. The guy's name was Bob Bockley. Then he went to Chicago with a Boulevard Bank, and then he went to Los Angeles, and he's still a friend of mine. And he still says, I don't know anything about printing, and he's right. But we were talking about, he said to me, it took me a long time to realize, the first time you called on me, Considine, that I did all the work and you got all the money. I said, I knew that when I went out the front door, Bob. He said, well, how did you arrive at that? I said, I was thinking about, you know, what kind of a guy you were. Now, there are three types of people. Now, we talked to Freud. We put him, you know, we flushed him away. And this guy here, Abraham Maslow, a lot of books out on him. You can get that. And Art Macaro knows a lot more about him than I do, really. But then we got a guy named McClellan at Harvard. And he says people are three basic kinds. And this is kind of interesting because all of you are going to be dealing with some of these people. This stands for achievers. And this stands for affiliators, and this stands for power people. Now, what has this got to do with change? It has a lot to do with change, because instead of dealing with everybody the same way, you say to yourself, who is this I'm dealing with? Is this guy an achiever? Well, how do you tell an achiever? Achiever is very simple to identify. He is an absolutely self-starter, in the old-style sales language, a self-goal setter. He doesn't need anybody to tell him what he knows what he wants to do. Nobody tells him what time to get up. He doesn't have to set the clock. I'm exaggerating a little bit. He's the kind of guy that has been making decisions and working options all his life. What do you not do with an achiever? You do not say to him, this is the only answer. He says, I'll tell you two other ways right now. That. Because that's the way he operates. You never lay an ultimatum on an achiever. So if you think you're dealing with a guy, you say, we have it this way. We got plan A and we got plan B. He says, we'll do it B. He likes to make decisions. Hates surprises. Because his plans are always moving. He's always checking everything. And if you surprise him and say, I got some bad news, he says, why didn't you tell me? And he'll kill you. He is not afraid to cut off people and get rid of them because he is going to make it and he knows where he's going. And it's not heartlessness. And I'm not downing an achiever. You know, I would like to be in that class. I want to set my goals and get it done, and I want to be tolerant, but I really don't want surprises. And that's all I ask my people. Please, no surprises. Something's wrong, tell me right away. Then I can do something about it. Don't wait until it's too late. So that's kind of the mark of dealing with an achiever. And they're busy people. They like their working breakfast, working lunch. They don't like to monkey around. They want to get things done. So the achievers generally fall into that description. The second kind of guy, person, is an affiliator. An affiliator is, see, I can give you a perfect example. I have one client who's a very nice guy, tall, big fellow, weightlifter, physical cat, athlete. And on a wall, he has a plaque, and it says, do not ask me to lead, I may choose not to. Do not ask me to follow, I may make another decision. Walk beside me and be my friend. Affiliator. Nothing wrong with that. He doesn't want to get rid of people. He wants to collect them. He wants to hold on to them. So when you're dealing with someone and you notice that people are very important to him and he wants to keep them around and keep them tied in, and you stick with me and I'll show you how to sell my company, Maybe he can't buy a pencil. But he wants you to think that you should stay with him. And he may well be the right guy, but he may just not have the nerve to say, look, you're talking to the wrong guy, you ought to see Jack down the hall. So affiliators are good people, and most of us have a strong part of that because we want to keep associations and friends. But there is a danger in it that sometimes you got to get a little blood in the wall and cut the cord. Power people are the third part. Now, you can only be two of these three things. Can't be high in all three. You got to have kind of a grid. So power people are people with turf. Turf in the sense of gangs. This is my desk, and I'm the senior vice president. It took me 20 years to get here, and don't monkey around with the stuff on my desk. And those plaques that I've accumulated are a lot of long, hard work, and I belong to a lot of associations, and I'm a good manager, and I know what I want, and I have strong control, and I want to keep things in control, and I'm very proud of my possessions. Most people who are power people have possessions. The guy said, describe one. I said, well, I met a fellow one day in Los Angeles, and he said to me, how about if we go to lunch, Ray? Why don't we get downstairs in the elevator? My Silver Cloud has a little special place there. And we'll go over to the club. I happen to be a charter member. But we better hurry along because the old Movado says three diamonds before 12. Power person. See? All the guys in the room start looking at their watches. You got one of them funny watches. Right? Fellow told me the other day on the airlines, you know, I fly a lot, as Glenn said, and you meet some of the captains. Because I like to see if there's somebody up there once in a while. Everything is so automated. You know, nothing can go wrong, can go wrong, can go wrong. So I met this captain, and a good-looking guy, and I said, you're in great shape. He said, I just finished my physical. Funny story. I said, what happened? He said, well, he says, my sight, hearing, everything great, you know. And he said, I was getting dressed, and I was putting on my LED watch. Power person, see. And he's got the stripes and the gray hair and a cap. And I said, what about that? And he said, well, the guy asked me a funny question. He says, do you mind if we ask you when is the last time you made love? He said, 1948. The guy says, 1948? Isn't that a long time ago? He says, no, it's 2106 now. They'll work on that one a little bit. They'll think about it. Then they'll figure out everything, right? Now, this is the kind of thing with the power people, see? Power people like to show off the thing. And that's what the guy did to me with the printing, see? He wanted to tell me what he knew about. You meet a guy with a Ferrari, don't start telling him about Ferraris. They'll tell you. It's very nice if you're selling cars. I had another friend who came in a couple weeks ago, and he had a hearing aid. And I said, Bill, what do you got in your ear? He says, a hearing aid. I said, okay. He says, $2,500 it cost. I said, that's a lot of money. Help your hearing? Oh, yeah, he says, before you could drop a bomb, I wouldn't hear anything. Now I could tell you if a dollar bill was heads or tails when I hit the carpet. I said, that's great. What kind is it? He says, quarter of two. So, you know, some guys get their money's worth, some people don't. You can't tell. Now, I wanted to tell you a little bit about change in habit, and I'd like to work a little experiment with you, and yeah, you got to put down your pens and, you know, get ready to fold your arms. And if you've seen it, go along with it anyway. But fold your arms, everybody, just the way you usually do. And we'll give you a little lesson on change. Now you got to tell me one thing. How many people have the right arm over top? Just raise your hand. Right arm on top. And the other people? Mm-hmm. Now I would like you to reverse it. It's okay for the other folks. Got it? Change is very difficult. Very difficult. You know, you say, that feels terrible. He thinks it's great. Every once in a while, the guy says, I'm left-handed. I don't know what that's got to do with anything, you know. You want to do the same thing? Fold your hands like when you go to church. Church, dummy. Come on, come on. Fold your hands. You get your right thumb on top? God bless you, my son. So do I. Okay? Just change them. See, you know, what is that? What is funny? That's change, see? Now, the man tells us that change is a difficult, at best, maneuver for the ordinary human being, all of us. But he had a very interesting thing I'd like you to remember. This is one of our little tidbits from our buffet here. This is a buffet. You take what you want and leave the rest. The part I like about change is the guy said, there's no such thing as a weakness. Now, that gave me a lot of confidence right away because I thought I had a lot of weaknesses. He said, no, that's an undeveloped skill. Oh, I like that one. I said, yeah, I'd like to be a drummer. I can't do that too good. Oh, if you practiced, I'm sure you'd be you and Buddy Rich, nothing to it. And that's an interesting thing because if you will look into your own litany of strengths and weaknesses, you will find out the things you don't do well. You keep telling people why you don't do that. If you'd like to read a very interesting book, it's called Your Erroneous Zones. Your Erroneous Zones by a guy named Wayne Dyer. And I just worked Young President's Organization in Hawaii with him, and the guy has some great stuff. In a nutshell, he says we're all in a circle, see, like this. And this will hit you. This will hurt. But it hurts us all when we look at it, see. Wayne, and this is only one page of his book, and I'll give you one that was fun. He said, I've always been shy, and he makes a mark at like the 2 o'clock in the circle, okay? And he says at the 3 o'clock in the circle, I really should do something about this. At the 5 o'clock, he says, there's a nice looking group of people over there. I think I'll go over and talk to them. And then about 7 o'clock, he puts a little mark and he says, but what if they're not receptive? And at 9 o'clock, he says, maybe I better not go over. And then they write the word from 9 o'clock all the way around to 1 again, says, because I've always been shy. But there's some nice people over there, and I ought to go over and see them, but maybe they won't like me, so maybe I better not do it, because... And he says at some point, you've got to stop and say, if you want to meet people, you've got to take a few hits, a few rebuffs once in a while. I'm sure that any of you have ever tried anything the first few times. Doesn't work too well. And the man who talks about the change says if you do something successful seven times, that's one of those myths. I don't know if it's true. I don't really care. But if you do something successfully seven times, it then becomes a skill. And a lot of really exciting courses and books, Omega, I'm not pushing any of them. I'm saying that just like the Sundance Kid, you say, how do those guys do that? I'm going to try that. But what Wayne Dyer says in his book is, I'm is a sign of weakness. As soon as you start that, you start to say, I'm not very good at that. He says, why not? I've never been very good at that. I was never good at math. Well, think about this for a second. The more you've said that all your life, the more you've programmed your own mind to make sure you'd never be any good at that. Interesting. So he's got an interesting book. There's another book I'd like to tell you about, and I'm not selling books, and I don't read a lot. I've always been nearsighted. See? There's a book called Notes to Myself, and it was written by a guy named Hugh Prather, and my kids gave it to me. One of my kids went through EST. Hello, Daddy, this is Lisa. The operator says, calling collect. I say, oh, hello, honey. She says, I need $280. I said, well, hello, what's the matter, operator? I can't hear you. My hearing aid doesn't work. She says, I need to... I said, for what? She said, EST. I said, forget it, goodbye. So she went out and started the Rainbow Painters in Sonoma, California. My daughter, 19, is a house painter. She conned the painter into giving her the paint wholesale. She conned two guys into doing the estimates, and they did all the work, and she collected the money, and I ain't worried about that kid anymore. She made $800 and went to EST. So then she calls me up, collect. She says, hi, Daddy, I got something for your speeches. And I said, what? And she said, what was the first one she gave me? Cut out the complaints. And most people don't have much to say. Love you, goodbye. And I'm saying, wait a minute, what was that? Cut out the complaints, and most people don't have much to say. I think I better pay attention to that. So I came home that night to this absolutely lovely, tolerant lady who lives with me when I'm there and puts up with me when I'm not there. And she says to me, let me tell you what happened at the department store today. I said, we'll sue them. She said, what's the matter with you? I said, I'll call him on the phone. Can I write a letter? I love to write letters. I'll write a letter to the manager. She said, no, it's just that. I said, oh, listen. Cut out the complaints, and most people don't have anything to say. If you don't want me to solve your complaint, don't tell me about it. Oh, she says, we're going through another thing. This is a new thing? I said, yeah, but listen, it's really neat. Lisa called me up today and said, cut out the complaints, and most people don't have much to say. She said, I really like that. Now let me tell you what they did to me at the department store today. But you go to your companies tomorrow, your house, wherever you are, and listen to people complaining. They waste so much time. And all you have to do, this is a nasty one, all you have to do is say, what do you want me to do about it? And they say, nothing. I say, then, see ya. What do you want me to do about that? Because I solve problems, I give answers, you know, I'm achieving in power like crazy. But it shocks them. After a while, they say, you know, it's very strange. But they don't come back and complain to you, and you got all the time to do your work that you never get done. See? That's what I like. Then she called me up again and said, take away the bragging in various forms, and most people have nothing to say. I paid for that one, too. Collect. And I thought about that, and I started to listen to people, and guys are in, I'd say, I gotta get that dummy out of trouble again. I don't know how many times I've saved him, and I thought, oh, boy, you aren't you something. And you listen, and you hear these people all the time sliding the superiority to you. And listen for it. I can't give you an awful lot of examples, but current, but you'll hear them when they come around, see. Next little shorthand is listen to, not against. There's another one I stole, the 11th commandment. Remember back here, steal? Listen to, not against. I said to the guy, I don't quite get that one. Give it to me again. He said, most people listen against the conversation that's coming at them to make sure that they get the first word they can in. They're not listening to what you're saying. They're listening against. You want to see how it works? I'll show you. Everybody turn to the person next to him, and I'm going to give you 15 seconds. And I want you to talk to her, and I want you to talk to him, and keep talking. And each person, just talk to the person next to him. Don't listen. Talk. 15 seconds. Ready? Go. Talk to him. Tell him anything. Tell him anything. Come on. All right, hold it. How did you like the cocktail party? That's what it sounds like from up here. Nobody's listening to anybody, really. Is that what you're doing? Blah, 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 blah. What did he say? This guy's going to be all black and blue. I got him about 18 times there. Don't ever sit next to me in the movies. I can do this all the time. This is so true, see? So then a couple of us started to work on this. Not like research. It's just guys talking. And I said, that's really funny. You don't listen to people. I said, how is there anybody who knows some system to get people to listen more? And the fellow said, oh, yeah, there's a guy named John McKinvrin, Chicago. I said, who's he? Oh, he used to work with Redhead, and he was in the agency business. He has a thing called Communications Workshop. I said, what's he do? He said, he gets people to listen to each other. I said, and they pay him for that? Yes. So I went to see him. Neat guy. I said, what do you do? He said, what do you do? I said, oh, no, you don't. No, you're not going to do that to me. What do you do? Well, he said, come on in, I'll show you. And he has a room, and he lets companies have meetings in his room, and he videotapes them, three cameras, one there, one there, one there, and they sit on the couch and talk. I said, what about it? He said, whatever their problem is. I said, then what do you do? He said, then we come back and play the videotapes, and we show them the body language, how the guy is, you know, smoking a cigarette and putting the things, you know. He said, you know, so they then, people get embarrassed because they see how they were really rejecting the ideas of the other speakers. Then he says, I'd like to play a game. And this was an interesting phrase. I want you to suspend your agenda and listen to mine. I'd like you to suspend your agenda mentally and listen to mine. As a matter of fact, let's change places, gentlemen, and you give my argument. Oh, the guy says, well, I didn't hear all of it. Oh, well, I'll do it again for you, only this time listen, would you please? Suspend whatever you're thinking about and listen to me. And it is, he said, it's amazing, and I believe him, because I watched one group. It's amazing how quickly some of the problems were solved after two or three turns. The guy says, that's what I want to do too. I didn't know you were not. I'm on the same side you are. The guy says, wonderful. I didn't know that. Sure. And this is listening against instead of listening to. It seems to me that a lot of people could solve a lot of things more quickly if they would listen, really listen to what the guy's saying and say, okay, I'm going to give you an answer. If you ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer. And we tried this in our company for a week. It's devastating. Want to try it? Answer every question that anybody asks you for a week. Nothing later. No put-offs. Guy asks you a question, I'll say, okay, I'll give you an answer. Let me see. Ha. Sometimes it's tough. So I was with a guy named Footman in San Francisco, and he was on the phone. He said, I have to take this call, excuse me. And I said, all right. And he said, uh-huh, I see. And he put the phone down, and he turned around, and he looked out the window. And there I am, sitting like you, and I'm thinking, what is this? And he's looking out the window. Boy, it seemed like a long time. It's probably 2 minutes. And he picked up the phone and said, okay, run it, and hung up the phone. I said, excuse me, what was that about? What? I said, you look out the window and they say to the guy, run it. Oh, he said, this fellow in Denver, they want to know about whether we should put a certain commercial on for MasterCharge. It's my account. And I decided we'll run it. Just like that. He says, well, that's supposed to be my job. What am I waiting for? I just want to make sure I thought it out before I told him yes. Well, I've tried this in my office, and people get a little really nervous. You want to have some fun, just stop saying things every once in a while. There's a speaker who does a great trick with this. You feel sorry for me?
No, sir.
Not at all?
No.
You're supposed to be empathetic when I pretend I forgot.
Okay.
But the thing with the silences and the empathy is that if you really listen directly to people and give your attention, you can solve a lot more problems. Now, I want to give you something, a little formula you can take and have some fun with. It's called winners and losers, okay? And we're going to if you want to use it, fine. If you don't, you know, that's the buffet. Don't take any of this. So we're going to cut off Wayne. I'm sorry, Wayne, baby. Goodbye. Winners work harder. W-I-N-N-E-R-S, right down the edge. Winners work harder, and you know it's true. You know that anybody who is getting ahead of everybody else, they're doing something extra. Second interesting little image is ideas. They use ideas better. They say, ha, I know how to use that. You see, everything can get transferred from another company, another operation, into what I want to do with it. How can I use that? See, we have a thing in our company, too. The only reason I keep saying my company and our company and that kind of thing is it's we do it, and I know it works for us, and if it works for you, fine. In our company, we have a little slogan that says, how can I use this? Who else can use it? Throw it away. We try to really keep rid of this stuff. It's like my friend the lawyer used to say, you don't have to keep papers. If we're going to sue you, we'll have all the papers. Well, that's an interesting thought. Interesting thought. So we say, how can I use this? And when you look at something like this, say, how can I use that? I can't use it. Now, who else could use it? That's when you stick it in an envelope and send it up and say, Jack, this sounds like your game. You know, or didn't you mention this at the party? Or here's the guy we were talking about the other night. I'm going to tell you about that in a second. The other thing is winners do things now. And that's what we were just talking about. One of the things is answer the question. You want a question answered? Ask a winner. He'll give you the answer. He'll say, no, I don't think you should do that. He trusts his judgment. A winner instinctively makes right decisions. Why? Because he's used to making decisions. It's an undeveloped skill. Develop it, you can get good at decisions. Now, the next one is natural. Most winners never are two people. They're just one. I'm not going to dwell on it because the people you know that are good, they're always there. You can count on them. Consistent. And really okay. E is for energy. Where do they get the energy? Very simple. They love what they do. Love what they do. Can't wait to get there. Try to pry them away. It's like the guy at the Young President said. A young president is a guy on a Saturday morning who's out on the golf course smiling and playing golf when he'd much rather be in his office working. That's what a young president is. Winners develop a repeat formula. Repeat. Guy says, that worked pretty good. How can we do some more of that? Hey, that was a good one. Whether you're doing direct mail or sales or marketing or common sense or transfer of ideas. And the last one of winners, of course, we put the word sell. Winners sell because nothing happens till somebody sells something. Have you ever heard Red Motley? That's what he contributed to our sales game, and he's so right. So the winners do that. Now we get a couple just for fun called losers. And losers, you can tell right away because L says, I'll do it later. I'll do that later. Okay? Overworked. You're giving me more stuff to do. Oh, my, I've got so much already. You know, you can spot them. Get rid of them. Out. Somebody says, losers, L-O-S, so-so. Is that ready to go out? Is it finished? Is it perfect? Remember, Carter got elected. He said Rickover had the greatest influence on his life because he's always asked the same question. Did you do your best? So-so, out. They'll kill you. You got to do everything for a loser, so you might as well get rid of them. Now, E, evade. We just made this up one day at UCLA in a conference. Evade. Give it to somebody else. I'm too busy. Let them be captain. I don't want to stay up all night. So you got later, overwork, so-so, evade. And then R is my favorite because that means retire, early retirement. Banks have this, Glenn. We have two kinds of people who are going to retire in the bank. Those who are coming of age and those who came to work yesterday. But anyway, that's just a bank joke, Glenn. Everything's okay. And then they said, what's the S for in losers? And they said, well, it doesn't stand for anything because losers never finish. That's a bad. Now, I got a couple losers here for you. You ready with the notes? The one I liked the best, really, was the guy says, you want to know a real loser? And I said, yeah, a loser is the kind of person. You say, go to the end of the line. And he does and comes back and says, somebody's already there. That's a loser. Right? All right. Now, I want to tell you a little formula. How much time I got? How much?
5 after.
It is 5 after. Is that a Movado? Is that one diamond after two, or what happened with that? All right. I'll give you a formula called we do this with sales, salesmen, distributors, franchise people, etc. This is called the 4-4 formula, okay? This works pretty well. This is another piece of the buffet. And it's called 4 a day. 4 a day phone, 4 a day notes, 4 a day social contacts, TACTS, and what's the last one? The last one is AFTO, which ain't going to be any secret to any salesman. Here's the way it works. Very quick, lady. On the phone, we try to get people to make 4 additional contacts a day. Now, this is the old insurance game. You know, you remember the insurance formula? Plan your work and work your friends and relatives. Now, we'll fire you. Well, on the phone, a lot of people don't get a chance to talk to the people they want to. So we teach salespeople, all kinds, gals, guys, old, young, middle. When you see a name and you want to call them, you call them. What's that mean? You're going through your Rolodex or your phone book, and you see, there's Taylor. I haven't talked. Call him. And what they say is fun. Fun business fun. They say, you must have ESP. We were talking about you yesterday. Or I was thinking about you this morning. You see, the mind has all these thoughts flashing through all the time, but you don't catch them. So you look the next time you're going through a Rolodex or a phone book or any kind of a directory, and you see how many things occur to your mind. You could pick 4 names out like nothing. What do you call me for? I just thought I'd say hello. I haven't seen you for a while. Appreciate your business. Whatever comes into your mind. The guy says, you know, you're either wonderful or you're sick. I said, no, I'm not sick. I feel great. Well, what are you up to? I said, well, you know, just getting ready to go to Boise. The guy says, where? I said, Boise. He said, where's that? I said, well, it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. Now, that's an old joke about Dubuque. And the guy says, I understand the Mississippi River flows by Dubuque. And the guy says, it should. That's something else. But anyway, four on the phone, just quick hits. Very surprising money sales come in. Taught this to a guy in the stock brokerage business, and he's my number one convert. Notes. Now, you got to have a little piece of paper. And I don't have my briefcase here, but if you want to see it at the break, I'll show it to you. I have a little, and you can steal this. It says on the front, a few words about. Because after a couple of times of thank you, and I was thinking, and you know, it's like greeting card copy, I came up with this phrase one day somewhere, and said a few words about, and when you open up a little piece of paper, you can only write one or two sentences. That's the rule. Don't have time for anything else. A few words about Toastmasters last night. You were terrific. Signed, Jack. A few words about the party last night. Who put me on the plane to Paris? Little things like that, you know. That happened to me once. Well, anyway, that's another story. What we have is little notepaper. Not from the desk of, please. I don't want to hear from your desk. Keep your desk. Let me have a note from you. And have it say some little thing and scratch it out. And I'll tell you, Lloyd Dennis, Vice President of the United California Bank, does this all the time. Got a little piece of paper. I have a friend who does the brain robbery with me, Murray Rafo in Atlantic City. He's the worst type. He types everything. Well, he's talking to you on the phone. You hear this. And I said, what was that? He says, that was me licking the envelope. Next. You call him Mr. Now. Everything he does, right now. He's an amazing guy. So I got this little note, and I said, Murray, you know, you are the worst typist in the world. He says, Raymond, did you get the message? I said, yeah. He said, so? I said, you got Q's with the X's and the R's and things? He said, what are you going to do, keep it? First time anybody really put correspondence into its right slot, as far as I was concerned. Hey, you what? I got a typewriter now, don't I, Bob? And don't I type terrible, Bob? Yeah, but he gets a message. Send the money. Now, notes. Remember we had the other little thing? Can I use this? How can I use this? Who else can use it? That's where you use the little note. Hey, here's a neat idea. And just fire them out. You want some good math? 250 days a year you work, something like that? Four a day is... You said what, sir?
1,000. 1,000.
1,000 extra contacts. How are you going to get out in front of people? Get your wares, your service, your product. You know, here's one on the phone, quick. Here's the note thing. Social contacts. We never use our social contacts correctly. Not for business. Banker's playing with a guy. He's the doctor. Banker turns to the doctor and he says, you know, you've been playing golf with me 7 years and you don't have any money in my bank. How come? The guy says, you never asked me. And that's probably the truth. Because I have a friend who's a printer, and he came to my office a couple of months ago just as another printer delivered all the boxes. Oh, what a terrible timing. And he says to me, you're some friend. I'm a printer. Who's typecraft? See? And I said, Gene, I'm sorry. I thought of you as my friend, but I didn't think of you as a printer. And I told him the story about it. The banker and the governor and said, you never asked me. So the next morning, I have a little office. I hear a knock on the door. I said, knock? Who's knocking on my door? Everybody walks in my office. Nobody. Jimmy says, oh, my name's Gene Pepper. And I said, come on in. And I'd like very much to see Mr. Considine, make an appointment. I said, come on, Pepper. I know, you're the printer. And I'd just like to take a few minutes of his time and explain our printing. I said, oh, come on, come on, come on. Again, come in. Sit down. He says, hello, Mr. Considine. I'm Gene Pepper. And I said, get out of here. He says, do I get the printing business? I said, yes. He says, dictate the letter now. Salesman. Joyce, take a letter. Small. Gene Pepper, California Homes, gets all our printing. Signed, Ray Considine. P.S. Until we get a better price. Take that off, he said. Social contacts. How would you like this phrase? A guy told us one day. If you have a friend who's buying what you sell from somebody else, you ain't got a friend. I like that one. You know, I don't need you. I got lots of you. It's like the guy said, you got customers like that? He said, that's the problem. I got 1,000 of them. Friends I find difficult, especially friends who will buy from me every time they get a chance, even though I'm a little higher. You know, that's different. And the last thing is AFTO is an old acronym or whatever you call it for ask for the order. You know, ask for the order. If there's anybody here that would like to hire a speaker from Los Angeles for sales meetings and conventions, I'm your guy. Anytime, I'm asking for the order, right? I ain't ashamed. I don't hear anybody saying anything out there, but that's all right. I think that most of us presume that if we do a good job, that somebody is going to give us the money and the order and the business, and I don't think that's true. I think you have to ask. Now, I think that we could review very quickly a couple of things, and it's always an excitement to have a crowd like you because you're very responsive people, as opposed to the people in Minnesota. Maybe it's colder up there, and they all sit around with their arms folded all the time and buttoned up, but you're really a very nice audience. And nice is not the correct word. I have a feeling that some of these little buffet servings dropped on some profitable plates. Oh, man, you get the getting at that? We have a lot of fun on this tour or circuit that we're on because we have totally different presentations, and I know you're going to enjoy Arnold Vandenberg, three words, Vandenberg, because he has a thing about turning everything that happens turns into an opportunity, which is super, and you'll hear him after the break. Got a good movie, and then the boss comes on last, you know. Hey, I got one for Arthur. I saw a plaque. I love plaques and, you know, graffiti and things like that. But I saw a plaque in a guy's office in Minneapolis the other day, and showed a baseball player throwing his bat on the ground. You know, like then they walk off, and it said, Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times. Isn't that a good idea? So what are you worried about? Swing! That's what it says to me. And these little images that we have, the 11th commandment, and some winners and losers, and the achievers, and the power people, and the affiliators, may help you identify some of the people that you are listening to, not at, not against. And complaints, most people wouldn't have much to say unless they complain, but you can fill that with positive, decisive, forward kind of things. And the superiority thing about how you're really so good, but you're so casual, ah shucks, get rid of it. There's too many good things to do in the world. And a lot of good people out there to contact, and maybe a couple of notes a day, a little phone, asking for the order, and most particular, will identify you with the group you want to be up in the pyramid, which is the winners, and I'm sure you'll be. Thank you very much.